Our message is the Word became flesh. And Mark has no idea, but a lot of the music we sang fits perfectly with what our message is today. The Holy Spirit is really good, isn't he? So words express our inner thoughts and help us to communicate those thoughts to others. Words reveal what cannot be seen. The Apostle John was caught up in the glory and the wonder of who Jesus was and is. He is the incarnate Word. He is the Word, a person. The Word is Jesus. Without him, we have no reason to celebrate. He is our way to heaven. He is our Savior and Lord. And isn't it wonderful how the church is so beautifully decorated? It's a blessing to see the light shine for the glory of the Lord. So our opening scripture, and this is going to be kind of a take-apart deal today of John chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 1 through 5, and then 9 through 10, and then verse 14. So we will be looking at other scripture, but this is your base. You know, the Holy Spirit spoke to me this past week, and this is what he wanted you to remember, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So, John chapter 1, 1 through 5, then 9 through 4, or 10, and then 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. 9 and 10. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. The Word, in verse 14, we're at. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the Word of life, our only access into eternity with the God who loves us. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, you loved us so much that you sent your only Son into the world that we might be saved through him. Open our hearts as we look with anticipation into your wonderful plan that you have given us in your written word, who is the living word, who dwelt among us and showed us your glory. Come, Holy Spirit, and teach us about the incarnate word, the word that became flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. The Greek word logos implied that there was order in the world because the world was controlled by the reason of the mind of God. It was the rational principle that governed all things and prevented total chaos. So the Gospel of John begins with a declaration that Jesus is the Logos, the Word. He brings the life-changing power of God. John beheld the glory of God, and he was an eyewitness to his majesty. In the very beginning of John's gospel, he declares that Jesus is the eternal Word of God, the incarnate Word. He uses powerful phrases like the light shining in the darkness, became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth, declaring the Father. Some did not receive him, but others were born of God. John makes it plain that Jesus is the source, the Word dwelling among us. He is the living water, the limitless spring that satisfies the longings in our soul. So let's take a look, a deeper look, into this wonderful truth as we break it down. So in John 1 and 2, we see a simple phrase, "In the beginning was the Word." We see that the Word is eternal. It is coexistent, yet God. John speaks of the Word, and he is telling us that the Word has unique power. The first time that John mentioned the Word was in creation. So when God spoke, there was a creative and awesome moment in all creation when it was called into existence by the Word of the Lord. Let's take a look at that and go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1. And let's read chapter 1, 1 through 3. And we will see that in the very opening sentences of the Bible that there is a God. A God who works an unimaginable, creative way through his Word. Let's read. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. So John tells us that Jesus is there at the very beginning. He is the living Word from God about himself. He is the Word made flesh, the name that is above all other names. All creation was called into existence by the Word of the Lord. So let's continue reading in Genesis 1, 26 through 27 about the climax of the creation event. 26 and 27 of Genesis 1. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Look at Isaiah chapter 55, 10 and 11. Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. The scriptures celebrate the power of God in his creative word. And it's throughout the scripture, not just in one little place. And we've already read that there are two types of people, male and female. That's it. So we always stand on truth, what the word of the Lord tells us. So Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. So God reveals himself to us, both in the natural and in the spiritual realms. He is in complete control of the world, and what he determines happens just as he says. That's why it's very important to know what the word says. And it also stops us from getting into fear when we see the things around us and how it seems like darkness is trying to take over. But we can rejoice because the Lord has come. The light of the world has shined. So God desired to relate to us even more. So he sent his son Jesus to connect with people and to reveal the most intimate manner about who God really is. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. And in him, all things hold together. Jesus is the embodiment of God's word and also has a purpose. Like the rain that falls on the earth that we just read about, Jesus Christ brings eternal life and bears much fruit for the Father that comes in the form of a saving relationship with the Father. So the word of God, Jesus, comes down from heaven, watered his people spiritually as the living water who came down from heaven and then returned to the Father with his mission accomplished. It was the word that called Abraham to leave his father's country and familiar surroundings and go to a far country to become the father of many people. It was the word that broke the shackles of slavery from Egyptian bondage and set Israel free to enter their promised destiny. It was the word that was given through the prophets that led them again and again back to their promised future. Jesus is the Lamb of God who came to take away the sin of the world. Praise him. Glory to God. And then back to John, and we're going to relook at verse 14 in chapter 1, where it says, the word became flesh and made his dwelling with us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The word became flesh And this is called the incarnation. Jesus did not stop being God the Son when he was born into the human race. He became the God-man while still possessing the nature of God. He, at the same time, received the nature of man. Jesus is the Word of Life, who is the only way to know God and to spend eternity with him. Jesus was in every way human, but he did not sin. He is the perfect Lamb of God who came to take away the sin of the world. We couldn't do it ourselves. We can't do it through the blood of an animal. It was only through the death of the Son of God that we can be born again into the kingdom that is forever and ever. He came that men might believe. And you know what? He is the bridge that can enter into the mind and heart of those who seek to know him, even in the midst of their circumstances. Sometimes we feel that the darkness has just come, don't hear from the Lord. But just know you don't have to hear. You can know that because his word is the truth, that all things are going to work out. Even in our dark times, he is with us. We don't depend on our feeling. We depend on him, the word. So when did the story of Jesus begin? Well, we've heard and we've read now that Jesus was there in the beginning. When light came into the chaos of the beginning, he is the one who inhabits eternity, the source, the origin of all things. The word that John speaks of is uncreated. It is eternal. In the beginning was the Word. He existed beyond time and became God in the flesh. And then back to John 1, 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. So the whole existence of the world and the Word is that the Word is the presence of God, face to face with him. The Word and the Father are not identical, yet they are one. There is a creative fullness within God's being. He is one God, but he is three in one. He is Elohim, the plural form of God. He is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. One God in three persons. It is a wonderful mode of being, of unity. The Word being with God is the source of and the power for all who belong to the household of faith. It is abiding in the ultimate loving relationship of the Word turned toward the Father that creates our life together to be with him. We're his family. We belong to him because he loves us so much. He paid the ultimate sacrifice. The history of salvation is from eternity and the intimate loving relationship between God and the Word is forever. God moved toward us, and it is made evident in the lives of people that we read about in the scripture. We learn about the intimate dealings of individuals like Nicodemus, Mary Magdalene, the woman at the well, and the cross when Jesus asked John to take care of his mother. The word was personal. So John 1:3, we learn that the word creates. Verse 3 says again, through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. So out of the word of God flows creation. What did Paul have to say about it? Let's turn to Colossians chapter 1, 15 through 20. You know, we're to compare the word with the word, precept upon precept, line upon line. All of it comes together perfectly. So this is God's work through his personal word. God is the source, but the word is the living agent through whom he creates. So Paul tells us the exact same truth that I have been sharing with you this morning. So Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to read 15 through 20. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Everything owes its existence to the word. How wonderfully creation becomes the arena of salvation. For if God created all things through his personal word and continues to communicate with this creation, even fallen creation, alienated creation, is his and ultimately becomes the arena for his saving acts. The cross was really driven into the ground. Think of that. The cross of Christ, driven into the ground. Here he lays claim to his whole creation. There will be, in the end, not only a new heaven, but a new earth. Thank you, Lord. His life redeems us as an eternal gift through his word. His life is quality of existence that is secure in knowing that God is eternal. The Lord God has breathed into man his own breath of life. And this was an intimate, personal act which sets man apart, making him uniquely responsible to the Maker. That breath is the source of reason, conscience, and the longing to love and to worship. The very light that makes us human, we should never take that for granted, ever. Jesus is the Word. The Word was with God. John was a man, a witness of the majesty and the glory of God that came through Jesus. We are also called to be God's witnesses to men. The witness is to bring men, all of us, that means, to the place where they must make a definite step of faith. We are not puppets. We are human beings. We must make our choice. God never forces us to do anything that we ourselves don't want to do. So the invitation is sent out to all who will believe. The Word of God, who turned water into wine at a wedding, that healed the crippled man who laid by the pool of Bethesda for 38 years, the Samaritan woman who met Jesus by the well, who had a bad reputation, but drinks from the well of everlasting life and hurried away to tell everyone that she had met the Lord. All are welcome to come to him. No one is out of reach. No one. You just drink from the well. Those who are thirsty, come. As I close this message, I would like to share with you something that the Holy Spirit gave me some time ago. You know, once in a while, I'll just sit and listen and write down what he gives me. And maybe I've shared this with you before, but it fits with our message today. And it's called The Gift. Jesus, how wonderful you are. Perfect, sinless, God in the flesh. You willingly took off your royal and majestic robes to don swaddling clothes in a manger. A babe born of a woman in a village stable. God made flesh, heralded by an angel who sang to the shepherds in the field. Fear not, he sang, as the glory of the Lord shone round about him, and they were terrified. I bring you tidings of great joy that will be for all people. Today, in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord, the Anointed One. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared, with the angel praising God, singing, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men, on whom his favor rests. Oh, that we, like the shepherd, would seek the Christ, the child that was the treasure of Mary's heart, the child that came forth through the Virgin Mary, born in a stable in Bethlehem, the house of bread, who was the living bread, who came down from heaven, the light of the world, the Savior, announced by angels. God had come down through Creator becoming flesh, now dwelt with man. How can we understand such a gift? The mystery of mysteries, God incarnate, a tiny babe dependent on a woman to nurture him, and an earthly man to provide for him. God, humility, born in a stable, no room in the inn. You did not come in your royalty. You did not come in your splendor, but in the lowest place, a place where even the poorest of the poor could bow down before you. How I love you, O Lord. When I'm at my weakest, you become my strength. It is too awesome for me. I am overwhelmed by your love, your grace, your mercy. You are the gift of all gifts. As we prepare our hearts this holiday season, and we remember Christ who came, let us remember why we're buying gifts, why we're racing around. We must remember to put him first. So as you look to Jesus this wonderful season of joy and peace, it will bring hope in the dark times as well. Jesus is the light of the world. He is the one who shines into the darkness, and it is he who brings hope. He is the reason that we celebrate. Let's rejoice. Your Lord has come. Hallelujah. Let's close singing Silent Night.